Hello and welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, April 6th, 2022. I am Carl James, joined by Cassidy Palmer, and of course, the president of the Kobe Mo Fan Club, Chris Feeney.
Oh.
I like him. He had a good attitude. He had the stirrups. He had the Kenny Powers look. Kobe Mo is my guy. And he helped us try to win on it both times.
Yeah, yeah.
He did his best.
Yes.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, the Indiana Hoosiers had a very tough week, dropping the Big Ten opening weekend at home to Northwestern. Did win the first game of the series, but were not able to pull it out. Northwestern took games 2 and 3. Then Indiana traveled last night to Evansville. In an unusual game, but as it turns out, Indiana did drop that one as well. So that game was lost 8-4. So that brings Indiana to 11-16 on the year so far, and 1-2 in the Big Ten, which has Indiana tied for 8th right now in the Big Ten. Still very, very early. So yeah, that number 8 line is kind of important going forward here, as we'll be discussing. But the attention turns a little bit forward as Rivalry Week is on its way. Indiana travels up to West Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. First game is scheduled Friday at 4 p.m. So we do obviously have a bit to get into. We want to talk about kind of the state of the program right now. 11-16 below 500 this late into the season is not something we are at all used to. But the good news is we're bringing some expertise to bear here. And specifically, I'm referring to the fact that we have somebody here who has a lot of experience following and being a fan of a team that is not all that successful. So, Chris.
I was wondering where you were going with that. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, I definitely know about high expectations. And there's been plenty of times, even when I was younger with Generation K, and we brought up all these stud pitches and it just didn't work out, right? So no, I'm definitely used to that. Come on, my first season here was the walk-off at the BART against us. So believe me, I'm used to high expectations when it flips back. But I'm honestly, you said it, 11-16 this late in the year is not something that I've been used to since living here. And obviously, that's when I started rooting for the team. I don't know. Obviously, 2013 was very, very good. And 12 seemed to be pretty good. So we're talking a decade of baseball where this hasn't happened. I mean, it's been over a decade and a half since we lost the series to Northwestern. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that happens. I can't remember. I wouldn't think it's been any recent that we've gone 1-3 against Evansville in a season.
Yeah.
So this is definitely uncharted territory for fans that, you know, have been following this team for quite a while, you know. But I can tell you as a Met fan, you root for the laundry, okay? You don't root for the player. You don't root for the, you know, current team. It's your team. And you stick with your team and you know, obviously things aren't always going to be beautiful. I actually did think that with Yankee fans in the 90s, but thank God that went away too, so.
Yes, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've been kind of playing with some numbers and just some things that really some things that stood out over the weekend and then look at full season's worth. On the offensive side, one thing that's caught my attention recently has been the proclivity for single inning run production, especially of late, or two innings. And I kind of looked at stringing together offense, looking at typically, with some exceptions. I mean, if you have Ellis or Whalen or somebody knock a two-out home run, nobody on, whatever, yeah, you're going to score. But in general, if you're having fewer than 4 plate appearances in an inning, you're probably not scoring that inning as a general rule. And so looking at losses versus wins. In losses, 62% of innings are four or fewer plate appearances. And then in wins, that number goes down to 45%. And so more than half of your innings have run potential, or solid run potential. And then kind of comparing that with the number, or I guess the percent of innings with runs. In losses, only 28% of innings have runs. In those situations, kind of like the last few losses, it's largely getting that one big inning. And I love the big innings. The big innings are fantastic, but they're not as great for sustained success over a season. When we look at wins, those percent of innings with runs jumps up to about 53%. So over half of the innings with runs. So if we can kind of distribute those runs a little more evenly, kind of have constant momentum throughout the game, on the offensive side, that could make a huge difference.
Puts pressure on the pitchers too. Base runners, guys on base. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between 90 pitches if 65 of them are stressful.
Right.
It's so weird that you started with this because I was completely thinking, I went to Saturday's game and Friday's game. I saw 18 innings of baseball and I saw a score in two innings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really did think about that, right? We had the 5-run seventh and the 6-run ninth.
Yep.
And that was 2 days.
Yep.
It's so weird you started right off with that because it was completely on my mind from the 18 innings that I went to.
Yeah, and we're seeing it kind of like with the Evansville game. We out-hit them, but five innings featured four or fewer plate appearances. And so that just really can change the whole thing. Yes, we can get hits. We can draw walks with a moderate degree of success. We're actually far higher up in the national walks category than I expected us to be. We're just not getting anything from that. We're getting one to two hits, maybe. We're getting a two-out walk.
Unless Colby Moe's out there.
Yes, then we can string it together.
That Colby Moe, I'm telling you.
But then on the pitching side, we've been hounding it pretty well all season. It's those damn free passes. I was looking at the percent of walks and HBPs that go on to score and the percent of total runs that reached on a pitcher-induced free pass. I'm not counting errors. That's typically not on the pitcher or not always on the pitcher. Just the pitching-induced free passes. So the percent of those free passes that score is more than a third. Yeah, 38% of all of the walks and HBPs go on to score. And those walks and HBPs, those who reach by walk or HBP, account for 42% of all the runs that IU has given up this year.
I feel like we've walked a bunch also.
We have, and I did not. Right?
So not even just the guy who got on scored because you walked.
Right.
But we've actually walked in a bunch of
runs. Yep. Yep. And so that one stood out to me. And actually looking ahead, that's kind of my big concern for this weekend. Because while Purdue is not actually all that fantastic at drawing walks, IU is the 20th worst staff in the country at walking batters on a per nine innings basis. Really the one that has me intrigued is that HBP side. IU is currently the fifth worst team at plunking batters in the country. Purdue is the seventh best at getting plunked. And so that, to me, that's just something to watch out for this weekend.
A bunch of Logan Calathas over there.
Pretty much. That's what it appears to be. I haven't looked to break down to see if there's any one or two guys who are particular ball magnets and that's inflating their numbers or anything like that. But that is definitely something to keep an eye on. If we're going to lose pitches, they might perhaps find the ball magnets.
It's disappointing because we've scored so many runs in some of these games. Not this weekend, obviously. The offense really took a hit this weekend. But on a lot of games where we scored so much, it's like a battle against the pitching staff, because they're going to give up so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's got to be rough to know I'm going to put up 14 runs on a Monday night, right, and lose. I'm going to score 9 runs on a Friday against the Friday starter or whoever might have pitched. You know, it is what it is, though. You know, you're not always going to have like top 5 pitching in the country, which, right. I mean, that's what we had. Yeah. We used to, I think we were top 25 pitching staff probably 3-4 years in a row. Mm-hmm. I know last year, I don't even know what last year was anymore with the COVID and everything, but there were times, I remember stuff coming out, IU's got like the 3rd, you know, ERA in the country.
It was, you know, it was pretty much top 15 both in 19 and 21.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm not making this up. I remember the graphics, the cool little graphics that like College Baseball Hub would send out.
And a bit of it. Great. And also a bit of 18.
Yeah. See, so, I feel like it's been going on for years.
Yeah, because it wasn't just Parker. It was...
No.
Yeah, it was in the prior regime. Bunn. Yeah.
Bunn, Lemonis. I mean, they always stronger pitching. Tracy, obviously, great pitching.
I think that's
we're just not used
out.
To this. We're not used to not being able to trust athletes on the mound.
Well, 13-14 took a big jump up. And that was really the reason why the team went from... I mean, granted, they went to the College World Series in 2013, but they were considered a quality regional host to a national seed. It was that jump in pitching that happened from 13-14.
And that's Donato sliding to the Friday spot, right? Efros becoming Efros.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and losing Corson Carr, right? Because we didn't have Corson Carr in 14.
Right.
When I got here, everybody was telling me how good this kid was.
Yeah, and lost Hart, too, in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Right. Tommy John lost the closer on opening day.
But Christian Morris.
Yeah.
That was the huge addition was Christian
Sunday,
Morris.
Right? Wasn't he the Sunday guy?
He eventually became Saturday. So.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah. They had that senior, I forgot his name.
Evan Bell?
No.
He was very good.
Corte. Brian Corte.
Yeah. Who pitched Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's who. Yeah. That's who came in. Isn't that who that he decided to stay with after the rain delay? In that regional game, I believe that's what happened.
No, it was Efros. That was Efros. Oh, you're right.
After the rain delay.
Right. Yes, that was Corey. Yeah.
And that's one of the decisions that really he got questioned upon after the game. Not so much having Donato in the bullpen not ready, but having Corte pitch after a big delay.
Yeah. And some guys can do it. We're used some to guys it. Can't. So it's hard
and
to tell.
It wasn't 2 hours. It wasn't. It was 45 minutes.
A little bit more, I think. We had gotten moved to Mellencamp.
I went home and came back. I remember I had time to do that. So
see, I had unexpected something had come up, and I couldn't get there when it started. So it was a blessing for me. Yeah. My first time in the stadium was after the rain delay.
See, for me, I was in the crew that moved over to Mellencamp, and having ushered, I knew the ins and outs, and I knew that they keep the extra trash bags inside the like in the bottom of the trash can, and I used that to waterproof my purse so that when we went back out after the rain delay.
See, but again, these are the teams that we've been used to, right?
Yeah,
these are the teams, and even last year with the offensive lack of, you know, at the end of the year, you know, when it dipped, when we hit the wall, the pitching was still there.
Yeah,
we were losing games 3-1, 4-3. The guy always brings it up on Twitter, Martha the Mopley. He's always like, I still can't believe that pitching staff didn't get to go to the tournament.
Yeah.
He's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's right. Well, you know, we could have made some noise in a regional with that much depth.
Yep.
Well, and even with this current pitching staff, if you take out those free passes, it's a whole different thing. I mean, looking at hits per nine.
There's got to be hundreds of those.
Well, the hits per nine –
No, I'm saying hundreds of walks and HVPs and all that.
Oh,
so you're taking out a huge amount if you get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, if that can get under control, not eliminated, just into a not worst five in the country range, if that can get if that can even get middle of the pack, this is a whole different thing. I mean, the hits per nine, we're sitting in the top third of the country.
Strikeouts per nine is top 30.
Right. Like this.
Don't tell me this. This makes me more mad. This doesn't help.
It's just these free passes.
I didn't realize both those were so high up in the country.
Well, and this is actually the big chunk of the talk from the media session today with Coach.
Oh, okay.
And so once you're seeing this, I mean, it's actually already up on YouTube. It'll be up in the podcast portion before this one is. So you definitely, if you're hearing this podcast, you'll definitely be able to hear that that media session. You want to go take a listen because we had a really interesting conversation about specifically about the fact that these guys have gone through a whole bunch of development on improving their stuff, whether that's velocity, spin rate. And then you know, the question I posed to Coach was, is that impacting their ability to locate pitches? Because they're trying to spin the ball so much more. They're trying to throw the ball faster. So we had a lot of discussions around that. And Coach came up with some thoughts on those things, which I think are everyone should listen to. So but I think in general what we're looking at here, and Coach kind of has really focused on this, because he's not just talking about the walks, he's also talking about where strikes are being located. So when you're throwing a fast, when a guy's throwing a fastball, the fact that if he can only locate his fastball on one half of the plate, so if this is, yeah, basically you got your plate here. If he's only able to locate it down here, the hitters can say, okay, well, I'm just going to cover this half of the plate, and they can barrel balls up. When if you can throw a strike both at this part of the plate and this part of the plate, well, you can't. It's hard for a batter to sit on a fastball just in one of those locations. And so he's really looking for that. And that's where guys like Bradley Bremer have been successful, is able to locate that fastball to two sides of the plate. That's how Ty Bothwell went from not, obviously he wasn't able to throw the ball in the strike zone a few weeks ago, to two straight outings where he was able to be productive. Not getting every guy out, but he's forcing soft contact.
Yeah.
And being able to then make it to where, maybe get one, maybe get two guys on, but you know what? Then there's a ground ball or a pop up, and we're able to get the inning over with without a significant amount of damage. Yeah. And like we said, based on what the offense is capable of, you know, we looked at last year, you know, if we looked at games, if there was a game in which Indiana was down 6-2.
No, it was done.
It was done. We know the game late was over.
Year. Yeah. Late in the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had some rallies and offensive explosions early and mid of that season.
Yeah.
But at the end, we just, I mean, I don't know what it was. We just kind of hit a wall.
Yeah.
But not like the offense was great shakes this weekend. Let's be honest. We talked about it. We only scored in two innings the first 2 days. Bunch of solo homers, like Cass pointed out, you know, after that. And it's just, I don't know.
But you sit there and say that, Chris, but look at it. When has this team not produced runs? They've had to do it multiple different ways, but they have always produced runs. They've always produced enough runs that you would think would be able to win a baseball game.
Or at least be closer than it was.
Yeah. I mean, six in the ninth.
Yeah.
Do you count that?
Yes, I mean, it's just, you count that. They're runs.
I know you count that. I know
they
you
absolutely
count.
Count.
Yeah. I'd rather had four in the second and two in the sixth and gone into that last inning down a run. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then the first game, we were nothing. Both games. Did we score? Oh, no, we did. We scored early on Sunday. But I don't know. For a while there, we kept coming out of the gates hard. We were scoring a lot of runs early in these games. Yeah. And it seemed like that's gone away now.
But if you go back, so if you start with last night, the four runs was a little light, but that was 10 hits, a couple of double plays, or things that, and a lot of hard contact.
Yes.
You go back, the last time that they only scored four, the series that really sticks out is the Troy series. That was 1-4-4.
Yeah.
But then you go before that, big run scores, and then you got to go back. Basically, there were three series where the offense didn't produce: Clemson, Round Rock, and Troy.
Outside of Louisiana, yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that,
I don't know if I count. I don't feel like the offense produced this weekend. I'm sorry. I don't. It was too many zeros, too many innings. I would add Evansville. I mean, Northwestern to that tally. I was disappointed from the offense this weekend.
Five, which won the game.
Yeah, I know.
Six,
I know.
Which brought the winning run to the plate.
Yeah, we were down 7-0 in the ninth, Carl. I'm just saying, I was disappointed from the offense this weekend. You can give me a total number of runs for the weekend or not. You weren't disappointed there this weekend from the offense?
No. Their job is to put up enough runs to win.
We'll agree to disagree. For me, it's the
probability bit. Kind of like Chris was saying, if you come in down 7 in the ninth, what's the probability of pulling off that comeback to at least get it to a tie, to send it to extras?
Yeah, it's like when a basketball team's down 20.
Right. It's one of those. Could it happen? Yes. Am I happy to see those runs come in? Yes. But if it had been a little bit more even throughout the game, if you come in one or two runs down in the ninth, the probability of that comeback is significantly higher.
And if you're going to tell me, what were the odds? And I was so impressed by it. And I really think it was one of the bigger hits of the weekend was Tucker Shank. But yes. What were the odds of that kid coming cold off the bench with two outs in the ninth and doing that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah. But you certainly cannot count on that. And I don't know. I was disappointed from the offense this weekend. I absolutely was. Honestly, this might seem weird to say, but only giving up 5-7 Friday and Saturday, I was more impressed by. I mean, think of the runs we give up sometimes. Mm-hmm. 5-7 are games we have to win. I mean, we did win. I mean, we did win Friday, obviously. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, the one kid had an amazing weekend. What was it, O'Donnell?
Yeah.
He had like 5 extra base hits. He was cracking home runs. But, again, I always say that. Give me your one guy. Let him go off. I'm okay with that.
There's a reason he's leadoff.
And he played great, man. Clutch, 2-out hits. He was really good. But – I don't know. I feel like if we score, again, it seems weird to say in what we're used to, but in this season, in the situation that's happening, if we give up 6 runs, okay, we should win those games.
Yes.
Yeah. If we give up 7 runs, we should win those games. And when we don't, I'm going to be disappointed, because obviously we have way more faith and trust in the offense.
Yeah. And it's also,
but that's why it's so weird this season, right? Because we don't have the arms executing and coming through like we used to.
Yeah, that's been IU's strong suit for
bang.
Like you were saying, it's really been strong, really the last decade since the College World Series run.
Yeah, there hasn't been a run like this in a long, long time.
No.
And again, it can obviously be fixed.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
With coaching and staffing and recruiting, and it's not like, oh no, it's going to be like this forever, but it's this right now.
Well, and like we've talked about, I don't know, I can't remember who brought it up. It might've been Josh. The fact that this current group, at least those who are returning, who aren't transfers or freshmen, they didn't get the normal season with midweeks to kind of fine tune, develop a little bit more. Coming in relief in weekend situations is very different from even starting a midweek. And so they lost that whole season of that type of development that we normally have in prepping the next round of weekend starters.
Plus they had the funky off season with COVID, but so have all these other teams.
Right.
It's
and then
not
the
like
freshmen.
We were the only team that had COVID.
Oh, no. No, I definitely get that. I think it's just kind of a little bit of a perfect storm of all of the weekend rotation moving on in one form
or
another,
guys.
And no midweeks.
Yep.
And I think it's kind of everything all jumbled together. Pretty much everything I talk about is all correlation, not causation. So it falls in line with that too. It's all of this stuff is correlated. Can we say what caused it? No, no, no. Absolutely
and,
not. But.
And I don't know that there is any causation there.
No,
it may just be, okay, this particular group of guys are all just having similar situations, similar issues at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece, though, is when you don't have it all together, it's a lot more difficult to get people into roles that fit for them, which last year was easy because they had the starting roles taken. So it was then, boom, you just need to figure out who's best for these particular situations. Plus, last year, and you're noticing this, across the country, offense was depressed last year. The COVID 2020 impacted the hitters. It looks like now we've got that effect that's now affecting pitchers, because this is not just here. This is a national trend. This is
there are scores just here. Through the roof around the country. Yes. I agree. We see it on Twitter all the time. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, whatever site or you know, publication is putting them out there. They're double digit scores are not uncommon.
Right. But what we were used to seeing last year was, you know, a guy who threw a slider like Madunio, you know, you were seeing a ton of swing and miss on that stuff.
Yeah.
Guys chasing all over the place.
Yeah.
And now you've got fourth, fifth year seniors who have been looking at life pitching for years, and they're not falling for this stuff anymore.
No.
No. Can't fool them.
Yeah. You're not, I mean, and I just, week after week, I'm looking, I'm just like, oh my goodness, all of these teams, even if they're, you know, teams like, you know, Miami of Ohio and just all of these teams coming in are.
No, you're right. Listen, today, Indiana State puts up 10 on Purdue.
Yeah.
At Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Is that going to happen that much? I don't know. I remember a great game against them, 14-13, that we pulled out at Indiana State.
Yeah. Indiana State's been competitive on and off over.
Yeah, no, they have. Well, but again, are they going to score 10 runs on a road game all the
right.
time?
Well, no. People talk. You keep in mind, Indiana State and Evansville are in the Missouri Valley, and the Missouri Valley is consistently RPI wise better than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So.
So you got Illinois State, Dallas Baptist, Indiana State,
Evansville, Missouri State has had good runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great baseball conference. I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
So they usually get their conference tournament winner and a couple of at-larges, right?
At least one.
At least one. It's a small conference, so
just
getting two in is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But they got three in the last time, so.
Yeah.
Nice. No, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Evansville has turned out to be a consistent contender in that league over the last few years, when they used to not be.
Yeah,
so that's part of why the conference is doing so much better. Is the
it's good
Missouri
for us schedule? We always play.
Yeah,
and because those are always going to be on the schedule by virtue of midweek, regardless of
the series. Right, we're always get a series, but we have had a few.
But
the Chad Ashley series. Remember the Ashley walk off? Mm-hmm. That was Evansville.
Yeah, it seems like typically there's either an Indiana State series or an Evansville series. Not always both. But we always play both of those midweek every year.
We need a Notre Dame series, is what we mean.
Yeah.
That would be cool, right?
I don't think there's been a Notre Dame full series in the
ever?
Time I've there's been following. Not
there hasn't
time
been
I've
one
following.
Since 14. I know that. It hasn't been one since 14.
Right.
I don't think we've ever even played a midweek against them, not at Indy.
Again, not since I've been here. Not in that stretch. I'd love to see a Louisville or I know we won't get Kentucky with scheduling stuff, but I'd still love to see.
John Calipari won't allow it.
Yeah. But I'd still love to see a Louisville full series.
Because we haven't had
that.
Too risky for them.
We've played them twice. I think twice in the regular season before, but we've never had a true full series.
That's true. I mean, obviously, this year we're having an off 14, year, but when we're good.
We played them three times.
Oh, yes. That's the game.
they hosted a tournament.
Right.
And that's the game I messed up. Right. I thought Schwarber hit the over the black.
You confused the crap out of me on
I
that
did. One. I owned it. I owned it.
but still, that's... I'd even rather those two times in the regular season. Set it up as a home-and-home midweek thing. And
yeah.
Because Louisville's quality year in, year out pretty well.
Of course. Of course.
They weren't very good.
But we got to beat Purdue. We got to beat Purdue this weekend.
Yes.
We got our series against Purdue. I know it's on the road, but we got to win. We got to take 2 out of 3.
Yes.
No, I don't care if it's 21-20. Twice.
Twice. My scorecard doesn't want that.
Listen,
the amount of chaos on the scorecards.
Well, I can say that not just from the perspective that, don't want to have to predict an Indiana Purdue series, but this series I'm actually really glad is not in our pick'em because this would be hard. It's still, you don't know who this Purdue team is.
No.
You still have no clue who this Purdue team is.
No.
It's going to take a couple more weeks to really figure that out.
I do know who Minnesota is after my pick last week.
You learned.
Yeah.
I will start right now and give you my Maryland pick.
Yeah. And I'm still in awe of what's happened to Minnesota.
Oh,
this
was
a team that they were a national seed.
Yeah.
Just 4 years ago.
Right.
And then last year, they couldn't get out of the worst five in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It still flummoxes me. Part of that is I also had that I hope we don't become that. Which thank goodness for the offense this year, Indiana has not become that. But they had that situation where they had guys that, they took a guy who was, freshman and Big Ten pitcher of the year and then has done nothing since then. So
how nasty was that guy?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Guy, I would have said, was going to be like a number three or number two starter in MLB.
Mm-hmm.
He was it Fredrickson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fredrickson.
He was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
It fell off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Yep.
So you want the rest of my picks, Carl?
Yep, let's just go for it. Over here.
I already started.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to take Maryland as much as I don't want to. You guys know I do not like Maryland. I will hold that grudge. Didalo hit a 3-run homer yesterday.
He did.
White Sox spring training. Yep. Deeds hit a bomb. Had me thinking about the homer in the rain and the whole thing. But I'm still going to take Maryland because Minnesota's trash. I went out on a limb last week and said, you know what? I'm going to get these guys because no one's going to take Minnesota. But it didn't work. Now, Penn State, Northwestern. I'm going to go Northwestern. And can you guess why? Kobe Moe. So I'm all in on Kobe Moe this weekend, and hopefully Kobe Moe can have a happy weekend like he did last weekend. Honestly, of course he was happy. He might have had a poor performance on the mound, but his team won the series, so he doesn't care. Michigan State, Ohio State. I know Ohio State. See, this is one I could take to go against you guys, but I'm not going to do it. Michigan State for me. And then Rutgers, Nebraska is tricky. I know Carl mentioned in the thread, like, oh, these are really hard to pick. To me, that's the hardest one. I am going to go Rutgers. Nebraska has let me down before. And then I'm going to go Iowa for the home team pick. So it's Rutgers, Iowa, Maryland, Northwestern, and the Spartans.
All right, Cass, what do you got?
Okay. Well, I am also going Rutgers because, again, I just don't trust Nebraska. Could they get there eventually? Yeah, just. I don't. It feels weird saying that I'm picking Rutgers over Nebraska, but I am. And then I'm giving Illinois the nod over Iowa. That to me, that one was actually the harder one to pick.
Okay.
Sticking with Maryland, I don't like picking them either, but
yep.
Not picking Minnesota. And I'm going Northwestern over Penn State. And then, see, you gave home field to Iowa. I'm giving a home field to Ohio State.
Have they won a Big Ten game?
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'm pretty sure.
No, they haven't.
They're 0 for.
Yeah.
They're 0 for.
Because I was looking. Oh, Go away, stupid ad.
That's right, because they got beat by Purdue in one game, and then they got swept.
I believe Ohio State is wearing the donut right now.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, and now it's not. Where's? Because they also have.
And so is Minnesota. Yeah, it's Minnesota.
Well, Ohio State. Carl, take Minnesota off the picks. Nobody's going to take Minnesota anymore. Yeah. Okay.
But when you look at Michigan State, they've won one in the Big Ten.
No, no, I got you. But so, you know.
For me, part of it was Ohio State's played a tougher overall schedule, and that was kind of my sway. And Michigan State hasn't been particularly good in true road games.
That's fair.
Oh,
that's
and fair. Minnesota and Ohio State do not play each other this year.
Oh.
The toilet bowl will not be played.
All right. Well, I'm going to give Josh's picks now. And I actually looked at them ahead of time so that I would call them correctly.
Good prep work, Carl. Good prep work.
So Josh seems to be following this pattern. He's going with Rutgers. He is also going with Iowa over Illinois. Maryland seems to be a theme. Northwestern seems to be a theme. He is picking Michigan State.
And I would argue that the theme is actually anti-Minnesota, not so much that the theme is Maryland.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, it's not Maryland.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am going to be the one to break it. I am going to pick Nebraska.
Nebraska.
You know what? No one would have picked Rutgers to go to Nebraska and sweep them last year. And then after they sweep them, no one would have picked Nebraska to go on to win the Big Ten. Both those things happen. So I am bucking the trend again, and I am picking Nebraska to avenge the series sweep from last year and get two out of three from Rutgers. Illinois, Iowa. This was tough. I actually was really high on Illinois before the season ever started, and then they got off to such a tough spot. I don't know. I'm feeling it right now. Yes, I picked Iowa last week in that to beat Michigan. But now I'm gonna go with Illinois. I'm going with Maryland too. We're gonna talk about that. And we are making it a straight four. We're all picking Northwestern at home against Penn State.
Colby Moe.
The Michigan State, Ohio State. This was tough. I took home field as the decider. So I'm going to say Ohio State figures it out, at least against Michigan State. So
Nick Swisher Field. Okay.
Yep. And so once again, we all picked different slates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good.
That was not the case last week.
No.
You and Josh had the same slate.
Yep.
And all you guys took all the favorites. I'm the only one who took underdogs, and I lost them. Well, I won the Purdue. I had Purdue.
Yeah.
Hey, I picked one. I had one.
You had an underdog? Who'd you have?
Yeah, Iowa to beat Michigan, and that's how I ended up winning the week.
Yeah.
Was that a major underdog? That was a pretty coin flip.
I was the only one to pick it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yep. So that was my – yeah, see, I'm not going to necessarily – well, I did the first week, and that's why I'm now only tied and not ahead of the
– So it's a three-way tie, and I'm like four back, right?
You're three back.
Three back.
It looks bad, though. 5-3 versus 2-6 looks bad.
Yeah,
it looks bad. But it's not that
bad. I took a shot last week.
It's early.
I took a shot.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for a week where one of us goes over.
Oh, could have been me last week.
Well, you see, and that's why I keep Minnesota in this, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, it's going to be the week that Minnesota has a bye.
Oh, okay. See when they're playing some non-D1 school.
Yeah, watch Minnesota go in but take 2 out of 3 from Maryland this week. So
I wouldn't be disappointed.
But see, then it kills us all equally, and we get to cheer that Maryland lost.
Yeah. Yep.
So actually, I can root for Minnesota now. So it worked out well.
That's why to me the in this case the Maryland Minnesota and the Penn State Northwestern, either way it goes, we're all in the same boat. So it.
I don't know. I think I'm going to root. I want to see Colby Moe do some good things.
All right. Well, it's time to hand out some hardware. Chris, what do you got us in the way of red belts?
All right. So for the red belts this week, for defensively, for the Tony Butler Award, I'm going to go Philip Glasser. I watched him make some wild plays at shortstop this weekend. whether it was getting to a ball, he had to dive, he had to go up and get it. He made some great throws. He had to go deep in a hole. One of his best plays, unfortunately, was not an out. There was some issue on the catch, but he went deep in the hole, Derek Jeter throw and the whole bit. So Philip Glassick for me is going to be the defensive red belt. Offensively, I'm going to go Josh Pine. Okay. He had that big hit Friday with two outs. I had to do some double checking on this, but he got his hitting streak to 15, his on-base streak to 17. And he's just been solid, man. And really that Friday night knock. And I feel like he's had so many big knocks. And obviously the coaching staff agrees. The guy was batting cleanup Sunday. You know, I was up at the rail with the Tonsonis and Josh on Saturday. And I said, watch, there's our cleanup hitter next year. I said it to them. I said, there's our cleanup next year. It was the next day he was the cleanup hitter. So it was really weird. I might have a bit of a fanboy crush on Josh Pine. I will fully admit it. But, I mean, the guy's amazing. For a freshman? Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Defensively, offensively. It's not like I'm making this up.
No.
The guy is a stud. Okay. Yeah. And Josh Pine doing Josh Pine things, I like to type. So he definitely gets the Alex Dickerson Award. For pitching, we're going to go Perkins. I feel like he had the best performance of the weekend. You know, two runs, six innings on Friday. You know, we're sitting there down 2-0. Listen, every six innings, if we only give up two runs, I'm in for the rest of the year. So Perkins gets the Joey Donato. So it's Perkins, Pine, and Glasser for this week.
Can I throw in an honorable mention from
my perspective? Well, I have an honorable mention also.
Okay, you go first.
But I already mentioned it.
Oh,
Tucker
okay.
Shank. Tucker Shank.
Yes, yes.
I mentioned it already, but I want to mention it now.
Okay.
What he did with two outs in the ninth, coming cold off the bench, Tucker Shank would absolutely get an honorable mention. If we had won that game, well, whoever drove in the winning run would have got it, honestly.
Yeah.
But that Shank hit huge.
But to get an honorable mention with one plate appearance out of the four games between
episodes, that is the most unlikely hit of the weekend that I would have thought would have happened. He's always a hustler. You know, anytime he gets after, he hits it, he runs hard 90. You know, he's a fast runner. He's a baseball IQ guy, and he's a really good young man. When they lost the state title game at the Vic, I mean, it was bad. There was like a drop third strike, so that got the runner on and extended the game. And they interviewed him on the field, and he was just like, you know what, it happens. It happens. I love my brothers. I love my team. So Shank's a good dude, honestly. So that he would have been my honorable mention. What was yours, Carl?
Mine's Ty Bothwell.
Mm.
Two appearances, and especially when you look at how bad the prior appearance had gone, you can tell it was really weighing on Ty. And he figured it out. He has figured it out. And he's produced four solid innings over the last two games that he's pitched. And he also got to deal with all that mound mess last night.
I was going to say, he got to warm up about five different times.
Yeah,
he did.
And that was my favorite tweet that I ran with the account last night was when I said, wow, Ty has thrown more pitches than he did it when Boone Grove won the state title.
Yes. They had to pull him out of the game. They had to put him in the outfield. He ran out of pitches.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure I'd thrown that out there. But the point is, it's huge. You're adding, it's so important right now. They've got to be able to add guys to the mix. And this week, Ty Bothwell really got added to the mix. So
we added back to the mix. He'd already been there.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, from where when things were really bad, it was sort of like, okay, we weren't thinking Ty was someone that could really be in the mix at all. And now Ty's in the mix. And Ty is somebody that can come in and produce a couple innings, get some soft contact, do what he is capable of doing.
That's what I'm saying. He's back in the mix.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And Coach mentioned that last night as well. So, all right. Anything else we need to discuss before we wrap this up?
Opening day tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes.
Which I obviously had wrong. MLB opening day tomorrow. Lots of Pro Bowl Hoosiers to keep an eye on, whether it's Berger, Schwarber, Dickerson, Efros, right? We had a bunch playing spring training. Mm-hmm. Dietelo. Richardson. Right. Richardson actually is going to be with the Tampa Tarpons. I don't know if that's how you say that, but, and Elijah Dunham is starting in Double-A.
Yep.
That's an eye opener.
Yeah.
For him to already be starting in Double-A, which some people say are better games and better talent than Triple-A. So I think Dunham is very high on that list. Mm-hmm. I think they're like the Rail Riders or something. I'm not sure about the Double-A squad, but I don't pay attention to the Yankees that much. So Elijah Dunham, Double-A, Grant Richards, Single-A. But, you know, opening day's coming. We'll keep an eye on the Hoosiers. Pro Bowl Hoosiers at ProBowlHoosiers.com. At Pro Bowl Hoosiers on Twitter. He does work for us on iubase.com. And I got something he's working on. He's working on something for our recruits. Kind of a map. He's working on a map right now where you can pinpoint every recruit and where he's playing. It's probably going to take a little while, but that's a coming soon thing. Pro Bowl is apparently going high school ball too. So he's switching up. He offered to do it. What am I going to say? No. I said, absolutely, bro. Yeah. So thanks to Pro Bowl Hoosiers, and absolutely a happy opening day to everybody. Whenever you're watching this, I'm glad the millionaires and the billionaires shook hands.
As are us and all baseball fans everywhere. So excellent. Well, that will go ahead and do it for this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. We know rivalry weekend is fast approaching, weather permitting. First pitch will be Friday, 4 p.m. at Alexander Field. Several of us intend to, at least Josh and I will be there on Friday. I think, Chris, you're planning to be there Saturday, right?
Saturday for me.
So we will see you Saturday. And yes, I know it's Purdue, but I will tip the hat. They've got quite a field there. So if you are able to make it, get out to Alexander Field. Let's have a nice Hoosier presence ready there at Alexander Field, and kind of make it a really lively rivalry weekend. We're all looking forward to it. So that's this weekend. But with that, for Cassidy, Chris, also for Josh, I'm Carl James, and see you at the BART.